I want you to think about a busy place that you know well, a city street or the center of town. It might be just Main Street out here in front of the church, or the square, or a shopping center near your home. Now, set that in your mind, and then in your mind, look at the buildings that you see there, and think about the businesses that they house. Maybe there's a bank, or a donut shop, a movie theater, a barber shop, an oil change place, a car dealership, a grocery store, a gym, a gift store. It goes on and on. And all of these are crucial parts of the economy of the town. And you don't need to go inside every one of these businesses to have an idea of what they are like and what they do. They've got signs out front, thankfully, that tell us this. The bank, we know, takes deposits and makes loans. The oil change place changes oil. At the grocery store, you buy food. At the paint store, you buy paint. For internet, you go to Starbucks. It makes life easier to know what a particular business does based on the sign out front. Bank, gym, auto parts, library, and so on. However, what if we didn't know what each of these businesses did? Just think how frustrating it would be if you needed, I don't know, a part for your lawnmower, and you had to go around to every business saying, do you sell these? Do you sell? It would take forever. It would be kind of like knocking on the door of every door in an apartment complex looking for your friend who lives there because you've forgotten their apartment number. It's nice to have businesses that have signs. Now, go back to that scene in your head. And this time, I want you to kind of look up and down the street until you see a church. And now look at it and think about for a moment, what is their business? What do they sell there? What will you find if you go inside that building? Well, to be honest, it's difficult to guess what you will find in a church because every church is different. You've got different people, different preachers, different theologies and practices, different music, different architecture. And me, even as a church professional, I have a hard time guessing what a particular church would be like if I were to venture inside. When we look at a business, we're pretty certain what we will find there. We know that toy stores have toys, shoe stores have shoes, gas stations have beef jerky. But what should we expect to find when we go into a church, when we walk through the doors of a church for the first time? Well, hopefully we'll find God there. When we enter a church, we should fully expect to encounter the Holy Spirit in one way or another, to sense the presence of the divine, to experience something that can only be described as numinous, to be transported to a realm that is different than what we inhabit each and every day. When we visit a house of worship, we should be disappointed if we don't come away with at least a sliver of the sacred. Because that's our business. That's what we should offer here. People should see the sign out front that says church on it and be confident that inside those doors, God is there. But do they? Have we, through our actions as a congregation, convinced the community that God can be found in this place? Have we become living signs for the church? And more importantly, do we as members of the church, do we honestly expect to find God here? Today I'm reading from the book of Revelation. Revelation is, as you know, the final book in our Bible, and our reading is from one of the closing chapters. And in this passage, the author describes a vision, his vision. And in this vision, he witnesses something rather extraordinary. He calls it a new heaven and a new earth. Honestly, don't we all have that vision in our heads in one form or another? I mean, we look around this earth and we think that things really need changing, don't we? Too much is going wrong. There's too much misery and pain out there. Something new can only be better. We are constantly renovating our environment to make it better in our heads, because something new has just got to be better, and we would rejoice with a new heaven and a new earth, wouldn't we? But in this vision that is described to us in Revelation, the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. In this vision, the holy city of God, which he calls the New Jerusalem, it descends from heaven. And as it descends, a great voice announces, "The home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them." And the voice goes on to speak, saying, "God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And this is truly a compelling vision, isn't it? In fact, you could call it the crowning fulfillment of the great covenant that God made with Abraham way back at the beginning. You remember, God called Abraham and Sarah and promised them a great nation of descendants if they would worship the Lord, and they did. And the covenant is made, and God remains faithful to this covenant. And Abraham and Sarah's people, however, not so much. They fail time after time to hold up their end of the covenant, and they turn their backs from God. But God persists, and each time God brings the people back into the fold. But then, like clockwork, the people just wander away again. Finally, God breaks this cycle by coming to us in person as the Christ. And then, as the ultimate observance of the covenant, God gives his own life to honor the covenant. And now, here in the book of Revelation, we read of the culmination of this covenant in this vision of a new earth and a new heaven. The old has not been discarded or erased, just improved. It's been made new. Now, if you go out on the street and ask people what happens at the end of the Bible, many of them may tell you that, well, we learn that there, that God's faithful are going to be taken up in an event that we call the rapture. That's not what we find here, is it? I mean, honestly, the rapture has no real basis in Scripture. It's a fantasy of how, in the end, those who consider themselves righteous will be rewarded. In other words, lead a good Christian life and you will be taken up to heaven to live in the ultimate gated community, safe and separate from the undesirables of the world. But this reading here, it tells us something a little different, quite different. Because here we discover what I like to call the reverse rapture. Instead of the faithful being lifted up, God comes down, and it is God who is raptured to us. The New Jerusalem establishes heaven's foothold on earth, and we hear the promise that the home of God is among mortals. What a blessing that is, the home of God with us. And then we hear the words that sound like God's original covenant with Abraham. We read, "God will dwell with them as their God. They will be God's peoples, and God will be with them." I mean, that is the promise of the great covenant, that God will always be with us, that God will not forsake us. And when God dwells with us, And we dwell with God. The pain of the world disappears. Tears are wiped away. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. That is the glory of God's realm. So, $1 million question at this point is this. Has this happened? Or are we still waiting for it to happen? Is God's kingdom really with us now? Or is it a future event? And the answer to this $1 million question is yes. The kingdom is here, but the kingdom is also to come. Now, some will insist that the kingdom is really not yet here with us. I mean, really, just look around. It's obviously not here. That the kingdom is truly reserved for the end times. But I will argue that no, we are already living on the new heaven and the new earth. That God is with us, that the kingdom of God is among us, but just not fully. We can't access it fully. But occasionally, if we're looking, if we know what to look for, we are privileged to catch a glimpse of God's kingdom around us. We might see it in moments of kindness, in caring, in acts of love and sacrifice. Now, the kingdom can be elusive to those whose eyes refuse to see it. But if we look, we can see it. For example, earlier this month, at the graduation ceremony of Wiley College in Marshall, Texas, and Wiley College is a historically black college, it was announced that all student debt held by members of the senior class had been paid off by an anonymous donor, $300,000. Now, some might look at that and say, that is some generous philanthropy. Well done. But I choose to say, that's the kingdom breaking through, changing lives. And the kingdom, it should be visible here in the church, because we are a special community, not special because we're better, but special because we strive to be different. We are called to be different, different than the rest of the world. We are to be a community of faith, living and working and worshiping together in a way that is a mirror of God's kingdom. They should look at us and see the kingdom. Because to the world, we should be the New Jerusalem. We should demonstrate to the world what the kingdom of God is like. Because when people come to us, when they come through those doors, they should sense that this place is distinct and different. And when they come through those doors, we should be here ready to welcome them. They should look at us and see the kingdom in the way that we treat one another, in the way we treat others, the way we wipe away tears and display love and care to those who mourn and those who cry in pain. They should see it in the ways that we open our homes in Christian hospitality. We do these things not for profit or pleasure, but simply as part of keeping the covenant of God. The church is the place where we worship and praise God with joy, where we fellowship with love, and where we demonstrate compassion for all our neighbors. The nice thing about that rapture idea is that it's very neat and tidy, isn't it? The good are set apart from the not good. Everybody gets what they deserve. But the reverse rapture, it's a bit messier because everyone must continue to live together. The reverse rapture is different because God is here dwelling among all of us. the faithful and those who are not yet faithful. So, going back to that vision that I ask you to see in your heads at the beginning, we're a church. And when people do drive by our building out there, and they see the word church on the sign, what are we doing to let them know that the kingdom of God is open to them? I mean, we're not a business like Walgreens or Cracker Barrel, but we are part of the economy of God's kingdom. And it is our business, it is truly our business, to demonstrate a quality of life that reflects that kingdom, that says to people, God loves you. God is here for you. Because that is what we are selling. Amen.